Your views matter to us. Call Hot Talk at 888-550-9105.
Mankind must put an end to war.
The minister gave this example. He said that a Muslim, Christian, and a Jew were all out on the bank of a river, and a man was drowning. The Muslim cast out the rope, and his rope was too short to save the man. Then the Christian put his rope out. His rope was too short to save the man. Then the Jew cast his rope, and his rope was too short to save the man. Now they got one or two options. Either they can stand on the bank and argue over whose rope is the best, or use some common sense and tie all three of them together and save that man.
Yes, indeed. Thank you so much for listening to Hot Talk. Welcome back. That was Brother Nure Muhammad on a talk show talking about the what is to come. What is the aftermath? What do we do now after the Million Man March? And I think that Minister Farrakhan did that. Made that reference during the march, but I have heard him do that at other times. But it is a perfect segue into our next guest, Reverend Joaquin Willis from, the Church of the Open Door. I mean, he's also the president of the Collective Empowerment Group of South Florida, and they'll be celebrating their 10th anniversary with an event featuring the old school gang, who I love, coming up November 20th at the Miami Shores Country Club. Reverend Joaquin Willis, welcome to Hot Talk.
Well, thank you for having me here, Jill.
It is my pleasure to have you. Now, we scheduled you for two shows, so this is just your primer get you up and out this time of night. But I would love for you to kind of give people a background of the Collective Empowerment Group.
Well, the group was started 10 years ago. We're celebrating our 10th anniversary next Friday here in Miami.
Yes, indeed.
Originally founded in Prince George's County 20 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And I was a part of that setup 20 mm-hmm. years ago. So we've been doing economic empowerment in Washington and now here in Miami.
That's awesome.
For two decades. Mm-hmm. And we're excited.
But you changed the name.
Well, we did. The name changed nationally also. Our chapter is the fifth chapter of nine.
Okay.
It was originally a collective banking group mm-hmm. in the 1995 time frame.
Right.
And about 6 years ago, we changed it to Collective Empowerment because we were doing more than just banking. We're collectively mm-hmm. building, collectively buying, and collectively banking.
And empowering.
And
yeah,
all
I love
of that,
it.
We
yeah.
feel, leads
right.
to empowerment.
Yeah.
So that's what we've been doing.
That's awesome. So now, for those of you, when I first read about it, I thought, you know, how did I not know that this was going on? And how powerful and how important it is to spread that word. I will share with you, we did a show, one of the first shows I took over for Chief Jimmy Brown about 6 months ago now.
Yeah.
And one show we were talking about how we are not building wealth in our communities.
Right.
And one of the reasons why is because we are not spending. And so I can't remember who it was, but he said, listen, the next time you get paid, and I want to share, I will keep saying this to you all, the next time you get paid, and you pay all your stuff, when you go home, think about how much of your money stayed in your community.
Mm.
And to this day, since I have started, the first time I just did it, and none, not zero.
Mm.
So much so that I had to get up and go to Crabman 305 so that I could spend some money in my community. But I realized that no, in the course of my life, I'm not spending mm-hmm. even 10% of what I earn in the community. And any community that does that can never build wealth.
Well, we believe that we're trying to set the environment right to do that.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we've had some instances, which I can't talk in detail, but I can tell you in generic terms.
Mm-hmm.
There have been churches in our group affiliation
mm-hmm.
who have sold churches to other churches with agents who were of an African-American orientation, attorneys, title companies.
Right.
And I know of one deal for sure that $1 million was turned over in our community and no bank was ever involved.
Wow.
So it That's can
beautiful.
Be done.
It can be done.
It can be done. And that thing is, and since you brought that point up, we've been
mm-hmm.
below radar intentionally. We've been looking at what we needed to do to organize our community to build trust. The Collective Empowerment Group realized years ago that the reason why we're not functioning the way we should is because our trust is broken.
Yep.
And unlike other communities who trust each other, we don't. So the ice is always cold on the other side.
We had a show called The Ice Is Not Colder.
To us, that's what we think.
Well, what would you, you are a man of the cloth. To what would you attribute that?
It goes all the way back to Willie Lynch. The idea of breeding distrust in our community started during slavery when we were putting each other in check. Recent articles that I have read reminded me that we are still suffering from post-traumatic slave syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably know that that by and of itself keeps us in constant non-trust mode.
Yeah.
So the dollars flow out of our community. We are the biggest consumers in the world.
Yep.
But we are not the biggest producers, and we're working on that. The Collective Empowerment Group was really brought together to hold the banks accountable. Every Monday morning, most of our churches deposit millions of dollars in the banks, and we decided 20 years ago to hold those banks accountable for reinvesting in our community.
Mm-hmm.
The reason we changed our name from Collective Banking to Collective Empowerment is we begin to realize that it wasn't enough just to hold the banks accountable. We got to hold each other accountable.
Yeah.
And so we've been working on this whole model, if you will, of rebuilding our entire community. This celebration that we're having now for 10 years is a celebration with a cause.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually trying to raise funds for a community transformation fund. We have an aspiration of $1 million or so within a short amount of time to begin to reinvest in our communities. In fact, just this past Friday, we started the mantra to say, okay, what if everybody just gives $2? And that was based on the assumption that Mary McLeod Bethune started a college with less than $2.
Okay.
So we're going to be now reaching out and starting to build a campaign saying, mm-hmm. look, just put $2 into this fund so that we can aggregate a significant amount of money to try to reinvest in community transformation.
Mm.
Which, by the way, when we rebuild these communities, almost everywhere in America, they end up gentrified. Because the buildings go up, but the people can't come back in.
Can't come back. Well, you know, I was going to say, we are dealing with that right now. I mean, you know, they're Overtown and Liberty City have targets on their backs.
Well, we are, as a collective, we started in Liberty City.
Mm-hmm.
We're competing. We're working now to be a part of the transformation of Liberty City. We are heavily engaged in that.
Mm-hmm.
We helped to set a whole new standard. The Collective Empowerment Group held the county accountable for writing the requirement to include community transformation. Don't know if they're going to succeed in doing it,
right.
But this recent Liberty Square project,
right.
We helped to craft the criteria that they put together.
Oh, okay.
We're holding them accountable. This time, they can't just build houses.
Right.
So we aren't sure how it's going to play out, but yeah. we're on the front but line. You're, that's right.
Yeah.
We're battling it.
In there. And so now this is an effort by the churches. And your church is the Church of the Open Door.
Correct.
And you're in Liberty City.
That's right.
So now, and so you all hope to build by adding other churches.
Well, let me say we broaden that. We are now building what we call the Big Tent. We started out 20 years ago focusing primarily on the African-American ecumenical church community.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, our national board, I serve as the national vice president of the Collective Empowerment Group, the national board just voted to become interfaith as well as multi-ethnic. What that means, for example, we in Miami were blessed to have the first white congregation to join our movement in this Coral Gables congregation. I'll call a name. For the last 3 or 4 years.
They're very progressive, though. Coral Gables congregational churches.
They are.
Yeah,
they are.
Very progressive.
And we are blessed to have them in, but we are also this Friday giving an award to Temple Israel, the Big Ten Award.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And a chapter of our organization just started in Tampa. And the president of this chapter will be the first imam who is the president. So we are now, we're crossing a lot of lines.
Tying them ropes together.
Well, and let me mention that we have attorneys, business people. Our strategic partners are business folk.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just the churches. Right. We're building a big tent, an economic tent.
Well, yeah, and I think that, you know, the fact that you're taking it from both ends, because with the empower, you know, I thought about that. Just the level of empowerment that brings from the churches, from the churches to be able to say to the banking community, right, in hardcore numbers.
Right.
This is what we're doing. This is what, you know, these are the values in our community. This is the kind of money that we're talking about. You know, it becomes a whole nother conversation when you're moving that kind of, and when you can create that kind of movement and that momentum among people,
right,
then you can create that kind of confidence that we can, you know, move up into ownership.
But we are tracking the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Miami, it's been a lot more modest than it has been in Prince George's County, for example. We have 150 churches in the chapter there. For the last 20 years, the impact has been about $100 million a year in impact. What we're doing here, we've helped churches, businesses, and nonprofits secure funding. Probably within the first 4 or 5 years, we were looking at about $75 to $100 million.
Mm-hmm.
What we've been doing recently, though, through our empowerment efforts, is setting up LLCs, looking to acquire property, looking for black developers to fix them up and sell them in the community at affordable rates. We're building new products. We're teaching leadership to youth, using a model which was a part of my doctoral study called Seed to Harvest. We've been building leaders for the last 3 or 4 years. These young leaders have been doing phenomenal, phenomenal things. We have a garden across from our church, which is teaching them to build green and buy green and to think green. So we're doing things subtle,
mm-hmm,
to kind of reshape the culture and the mindset, and starting with them third and fourth grade level.
Mm.
So we think that's going to help a lot, because now the trust is improving. In this past 10 years, we have seen the congregations, which is what we're celebrating now. We're giving awards to some of the steadfast churches who've been a part of our movement for the 10 years. You can see some of their names, like Beulah Missionary Baptist, Emmanuel Church, Community Christian Church, which is a Haitian church, Friendship Missionary Baptist Church, Apostolic Revival Center, Ebenezer United Church of Christ, of course, the Church of the Open Door, Second Baptist, which is down in Richmond Heights, Bethel Apostolic, Koinonia out here in Broward, St. John's, New Jerusalem, St. Ruth, and New Birth. All of these churches, they have been steadfast at this with us for 10 years. If you look deep into this, two of them especially, we're honoring Second Baptist and Koinonia. We're giving them the Church of the Decade Award because they've been creating jobs and building housing and putting people to work in addition to running church.
Mm.
And their creation of jobs are living wage, sustainable jobs. Second Baptist is hiring people who are ex-offenders to build. So we're doing some incredible
and,
stuff.
And, you know, there is, we talked about that with the controversy around Obama,
yes,
letting 600,000, offenders out, which is really
right.
Standard. It's not like, you know, they act like, oh, he meant to empty the jails. No, that's pretty much about the number that they've been, you know, letting them out. But one of the, you know, the biggest factors is that once they're out, there's nowhere for them to go. And they end,
right,
the recidivism rate is so high,
right,
because they,
right,
don't have a place to come to.
Well, that's what the Community Transformation Fund that we're trying to build has a basket of social services. One of them that we are really focusing in is bringing the ex-offender into a living wage job.
Mm-hmm.
I applaud the president for what he's doing. As you said, there's 1.4 million more still in jail. 600,000 isn't that much. But I think that the president has the right angle on this,
mm-hmm,
because there was only 200,000 in jail 30 years ago. 2.2 million now.
Now.
Okay? So it is an age of mass incarceration. Michelle,
oh my
Amanda's
God, did you just
right.
read that the piece that Ta-Nehisi Coates wrote in The Atlantic?
No, I didn't.
I'm going to send it to you.
Okay.
I'm sending it to everybody. It's 75 pages long, but when I tell you, it's brilliant.
Well, I like to see
it's
it.
It's brilliant, yeah.
So is Michelle Alexander's book about this, because she's right on point.
He references her, yeah, in the book.
You have
yeah.
to. She's done some incredible work.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, these are the days that the church must get engaged in all of this. It can't just be about a hallelujah, praise the Lord.
Look, yeah.
I love the Lord. And
I
do
too.
Have to say praise.
Okay.
But I believe that as Christ did, the church itself if it's not out there on the forefront helping the poor and the disenfranchised, it's missing the mark.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that just, you know, you talk about trust. There's so many issues around that. And that's really, I wanted to bring you back to talk about the Church of the Open Door. Just the name in and of itself. Because I think that I'm a member of Unity. Okay. And I've gone to Unity for a number of years because I walked into Unity and I thought, okay, yeah, this is what the world looks like. Yeah. It's everybody's. Yeah. The big tent. Everybody's there, you know. And if we're going to really deal with the problems, yes, there are side meetings that we need to have right. amongst ourselves. But at the same time, we have to be engaged in the entire community in order to not be behind, miss, you know.
I'm proud of our ministry and our name. Our name came from Revelation, where the church at Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
I just preached a series of sermons on this. And the idea is that the church at Philadelphia was the only one of the seven churches that Jesus commended for doing this work. And it was engaged in, it was in a community, by the way, which had been destroyed by earthquakes. So the only thing left standing basically was the church.
Was the church.
And it's still standing. And so one of the things that I think we have to see as a church is how do we work in decimated communities?
Mm.
And we've been, from the Church of the Open Door perspective, we've been building a big tent, too. I'm pleased to say we have a multi-ethnic church. We are reaching in to try to be, as you just said, the church that everyone in Liberty City.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm honored to tell you, I can't count the number of white, Hispanics, blacks who come in and out of our doors.
Mm-hmm.
They come into Liberty City and come to our church because we're engaged in stuff.
Right.
So I'm really proud of what we've been doing. The church has allowed me for 10 years to serve in this capacity.
Yeah.
It voted to become a part of it. It voted to accept the fact that I was going to be the leader. And as a result, now we have about 40 churches who are really active. These that we're honoring now are just kind of risen above that because they're steadfast and their pastors have 21st century visions.
Mm, very important.
And we are trying to do this thing together and not necessarily, if you will, think automatically, well, if I help you, I'm diminishing my ministry. Wrong answer.
Yeah. Totally the wrong answer. It's, you know, if I help you, it just makes me great.
Right.
You know, if Jan LaVanzant has been a mentor of mine for a long time, and I had an opportunity to be with her for like the first 6 months. And I think one of the greatest things she ever told me is that you can't give from an empty cup.
No.
You can only give from a full cup. So you have to fill yours first. And then you can give to others. And so, and I think that that's one of the things in our community is that we just don't realize how important it is to fill your cup. It's, you know, it doesn't help that we both broke.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to be up to bring everybody else up. So I cannot thank you tell you how much I appreciate you coming. And I'm hoping that you will come spend some of the holidays. I cannot think of a better way to bring in the new year than to talk about empowerment, prosperity, and faith.
Well, so, good. You let me know.
Yes, indeed.
I may have some announcements to make at that time as well.
Awesome.
We're working on some pretty big tickets.
Oh, beautiful.
Jill, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. The event is happening on November the 20th. It's the 10th anniversary and awards of the Collective Empowerment Group of South Florida. If you want more information, please call Ms. Dolores Carey at 305-759-0373. And I'll be back with Teddy T right after this break on Hot Talk.
Your views matter to us. Call Hot Talk at 888-550-9105. To join Hot Talk, call 888-550-9105. And now, back to Hot Talk.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back to Hot Talk. That was incredible. I love some Reverend Joaquin Willis, and he will definitely be back. Mark, I was just telling Mark that before we go to the new year, well, I can't believe it's already here. It's like, geez. But before we go to the new year, we want to do like a...
quick.
I know, right? We want to do like a wrap, you know, and have, you know, just a year in review live, and then we'll do the best of Hot Talk for New Year's Eve. Because when does it fall now? When is... Let's see. New Year's is on a Thursday.
Wow.
Oh, so we'll be, no, we'll be here. It'll be January the 3rd. So, yeah, we'll start off the new year. What are your New Year's resolutions? Mark Young, have you started thinking of them yet?
To have fun.
There you go. There you go. I'm taking that. Teddy T in the building.
Yes, yes.
Back
yes.
in the, were you in this building?
No, I wasn't in this
no,
building.
No, right. We didn't make it over. We were in the house on 37th Street.
That's right.
Those of you who, this is like an old school reunion. Although, you know, Teddy T and I go back before, like, well, we go back for the Lukes. That's right. When we met, when That's you, right. First started doing your thing with Luke. What was,
95, 96?
We're telling our age now.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a good thing, but you know, but we're holding up and we're still in the game, so it's a beautiful thing. And now, when I got the press release about Keon Dooling's youth awareness program, the I Am Respect Tour, I was glad to see that you were a part of it. So, so now tell me a little bit about it and how you got involved.
Well, Keon has been going through a situation as far as with the molestation the last couple of years of him coming out of the NBA. And he started this company called KD55 that I've been working with along with DJ Sko and Joe. They have another producer named D-Flow. Mm-hmm. So I've been with them on that as far as setting up music and doing production with that. And then it just came to the point where they came up with this idea of the Iron Respect Tour, where Keon wanted to go back and really tell his story to the kids in his own community and other communities so they have the opportunity to actually get in and understand where he's coming from and his testimony with it.
That's the number Keon's going to call us in. He's going to call in. So, yeah, that's the number he's going to call. So now I'll give you a little backstory. Keon is going to join us on the phone. He's a former NBA player, and he launched the new I Am Respect Tour because he played 13 years with the NBA, mm-hmm. the Clippers, the Heat, Orlando Magic, New Jersey Nets. What is New Jersey Nets? Isn't that basketball?
Yes, but now the Brooklyn okay. Nets now.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
Jigga. Milwaukee Bucks and the Boston Celtics. He retired from the game, and he has told his story of his tragic experience of being sexually abused as a child and the PTSD that led him to an early retirement and how it all has fortified his will to live and to give back. And it was all sponsored by Broward Health.
Right, right.
That's great. How did that happen? Did you all reach out, or did they reach out
to... They reached out to Keon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with them already setting up some things, and they saw what was going on the other group. What is it?
Hosanna.
Hosanna and the...
Hosanna Corporation is...
Right.
They have a platform that's called Expose the Conversation, that's where they focus on
the Expose Conversation yeah. step to him, and then they all kind of put it all together.
Oh, okay.
And it was beautiful. Yesterday, we had over 200 kids came out. K-Dot, Larry Dog, and Chico hosted.
Oh, okay. Chico, the Leo or Virgo?
The Virgo.
Awesome.
Hotlifies.
Yeah.
Very own.
Very own.
Hotlifies, very own.
Oh, that's awesome.
Okay, K-Dot did such a great job. Like, she memorized the whole platform. Like, I couldn't believe, I'm watching her like, she's not even reading from nothing.
K-Dot is here with us. How are you, Dal?
I'm doing great.
That's good. So, and we have Keon on the phone. Welcome.
Yes, we do.
How are you, sir? Keon?
Hey, I'm here.
Hey, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for joining us on Hot Talk.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you for sharing your story. I have to say how courageous it is. It's so we have the conversation often about, you know, when did it become courageous to tell the truth? But it is.
Yeah, I tell you, you know, it took me a while to get to that place. I had to do a lot of work in order to build up the strength to be able to talk so freely about it. But man, I'm telling you, it's basically been the most empowering thing about my life.
So I will ask you to share, you know, a little bit with the audience and how you came to. I just mentioned to them that your I Am Respect Tour really was kind of born out of you sharing your experience of being sexually abused as a child and how that created, you know, like a really post-traumatic stress disorder for you that led you to retire early for the game. So you want to share with them a little bit, maybe what you shared yesterday.
Yeah, a little bit about what I shared yesterday is, look, at 7 years old, I was taken advantage of by a brother's friend, and I compressed that. You know, I never told anybody about it. I kind of wore that. I acted out. I was promiscuous. You know, I dealt with anxiety my entire life, and, you know, I started smoking very early in life, and I did a lot of things, but I had basketball, so I had a refuge. But to make a long story short, at 32 years old, I'm in Seattle doing some charity work. I'm in a bathroom, and a guy feels on me. Now I'm 32 years old, and this time my reaction was very aggressive and angry.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, later that night, flashbacks from my childhood started coming back, and so I started suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. And at the time, I had no idea what it was. I didn't know I was a candidate for it. And, you know, after doing my work, I figured out the four biggest symptoms that you have for somebody who's been abused. Post-traumatic stress disorder, anxiety, depression, and sexual dysfunction. And, man, it's a lot of our brothers running around with all those symptoms, afraid to do the work that it takes to heal. So make a long story short, I had to get away from the game to get myself together. I wrote a book about the experience. I became a life coach and, you know, kind of have dedicated my life to bringing more awareness, in particular in my community, to the importance of mental health. Our mental wellness, I like to, because it's so stigmatized in our community, I like to say it the right way.
Yeah.
And, you know, bring awareness around sexual abuse.
Well, you know, I have been working on a story, Keon, for maybe now it's almost a month now, about black men and mental illness, and I have yet to be able to get anyone that will come on and talk about it. But when I started to read the stats that black men are more than four times likely as black women to commit suicide. And it's so many things that people don't talk about. And black men suffer in silence when it comes to mental illness. I thought, you know, and then when I saw your piece, I was like, okay, well, we are on the right track, because it is so difficult for men to talk about depression and sexual abuse. I mean, there were a lot of, I will, you know, a spade, as I like to say on this show. When I, you know, at the beginning of my career, when Teddy T and I were hanging quite a bit, and I was slanging, banging, and hanging with the strippers, I would tell you honestly that male and female, but particularly the male, I would say 80% of them have been abused as children.
Most definitely.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah. And and they, you know, and it damaged their self-worth their entire lives. And, you know, most people, and they did not know or have anywhere to go. So the I Am Respect Tour, you know, is poised to do really great work with people that are in that experience because you told your story.
Yeah, thanks so much for recognizing that. Listen, black men get... I think the statistic is less than 6% of black men get therapy, and we come from the most traumatic experience in this particular country.
Right.
And so I'm telling you, you know, fellas, if you're out there listening and you don't know why you can't stop, you know, chasing ladies, or you can't commit to that woman who loves you, you don't know why you drink so much, smoke so much, gamble so much, it's all those issues come from an issue. And I challenge you to do your work. Go get some help. Go get some therapy. You don't want to have to go to the mental institution like I did, spend 4 days there, just to figure out that that ain't the place where you get healing. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Getting that therapy and getting my, you know, spiritually, you know, coming to myself as well. I think, you know, I think our brothers also need to, you know, connect with something spiritually. For me, it's Christ. You know, for some people, it's other things. But, you know, you got to have that connection point spiritually as well. And then do your work, and it's amazing how you can grow.
Mm. Yeah, so now you started here. Was this the first one, the first event on the tour?
Yes. We had a major sponsor, Broward Health. You know, big shout-out to them.
Mm-hmm.
For, you know, putting an emphasis on our community. You know, when I went down and you know, asked them about it and told them what I was doing. They were so willing, and I appreciate that. And, listen, we got to make sure that we connect with these institutions, corporations, hospitals, whatever it may be, to do joint good in our community and challenge them to come back and help our community. They are on the front line.
Right.
So, man, I really appreciate them stepping up to the challenge.
Yeah, we've had Dr. Naib, president of Broward Health, on the show.
Yeah,
and he's doing some, they're working on doing some things with Florida Memorial College as well. So, you know, kind of in that same space. So that would be great to, you know, to take the tour to a college campus as well, because that's probably one of the places that those behaviors start to really affect, you know, what could be the rest of your life.
And it's a culture thing too. You know, a lot of times when you're young and you're teenagers, you know, you think things like trains and stuff are fun and routine. And a lot of times, you know, people get themselves in trouble with thinking it's, you know, just extracurricular activities, when in actuality, you know what I'm saying, you could be, you know, taking advantage of someone. You know, if someone is impaired, then they're not able to consent. And I'm finding out the rules and all these different things about rape and sexual abuse and domestic violence and all the, you know, all the nuances and how that affects, you know, the culture. And it's staggering, you know, what's happened on some of these campuses.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, it only takes to go so far as the music right now, because a lot of what, you know, our lyric, you know, even songs now that have made their way into our playlist, you know, in the right light of day, you know, can really be considered problematic. The behaviors that they're, you know, that we're talking about in music, you know, next week we're doing a show about that, you know, where is the love? Because I had a very young rapper on maybe about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I said, you know what, is it just me, or why am I hearing so much anger?
Mm-hmm.
You know, coming from young black men towards everybody, women, it's everybody, their children. It's, you know, it's a phenomenon. So, K-Dot, you know, what was kind of your takeaway from the event on Saturday with the Young Boys? Do you feel like they really were able to connect?
I think the biggest part was definitely Keon being so real with the kids and being honest about his story. And I think a lot of that is a lot of parents and older sisters, cousins and aunties won't keep it real with the child, but you don't want your child to get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Or
right.
Or you expect them to come to you if they are being abused by another family member or a friend or whomever.
Right.
And I think Keon being so real and honest about his story and him have had such a major platform. He was in the NBA.
Right.
You know, he's not just some, you know, okie doke guy from around the block. You know,
right.
He's from around the block, but he actually made it to such a high platform. And he says, I think any kid idolizes with an NBA player or a football player.
Right.
So for someone on that high of an echelon to say, look, I dealt with abuse and this is what's real, and you guys have to talk to someone, you have to be real about what's going on in your life.
Mm-hmm.
I think the kids, there was a little bit of discomfort because probably people don't talk to them like that every day.
Yeah.
But Keon was so honest. So I think that this is so important because we don't have a lot of love. You know, even I'm a 90s baby, and I guarantee you in the 90s, there was more love in our music than it is in 2015.
Look at that, right?
You know, and I think that molded me probably because I know about love in music, and we don't have it now. So the kids are just, I mean, it's really bad. So I think that what Keon's doing with the I Am Respect Tour really will shed some light and definitely save some kids to know, you know what you're going through, it has happened to someone else, and you can speak about it. So it was important.
So now, Kim, will you be taking it to other cities or other parts of Florida?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, right now we have 3 more events on the calendar.
Okay.
But just in Broward County alone.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it was important for me to start at the crib.
There you go.
You know, and then build out. But we hope to partner with another organization that will really allow us to spread our wings and fly, you know, pretty freely all across the state. So we're excited about that as well.
Awesome. So now, Teddy, you were telling me that the next event is December 15th or 22nd?
It's the 21st. 22nd. Okay. Yeah, the 22nd, yeah.
22nd.
December 22nd, and where's that one going to be?
It's at Dillard.
Okay. And the, do you have the other day? Is that's it for this year?
Right, right.
Okay.
And they'll be putting together the Yester dates. And the one thing that we did was we brought in positive artists.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
As far as with the fact of music being the influence, we brought in some great positive artists that had some great music. And it definitely was a good mixture of positivity for the kids to actually see and hear good music as well as a positive message.
Well, I got to put Prez P. You know Prez P?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Okay, was he on it?
No.
Okay, I'm his biggest advocate.
Yeah.
That Black Queen single he has out. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's a lot. I had him on with Ikenval Woods.
Okay.
Because he's sort of like the baby of the blues to me. I just hear that, you know, mm-hmm. from him. And, I talked about how, you know, difficult it is for you to do the kind of music that you want. He has a single called Black Queen that I think is beautiful. The song is really beautiful, but ain't nobody gonna play it.
Yeah.
It just, he ain't dropping it. Ain't nobody eating groceries.
Yeah. They don't want to hear the baby groceries.
Know what I'm saying? And you know, that's coming even from the office, from the radio, the actual PDs.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they want these records that are suggestive and got curse words in it, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm gonna put you out there, Cedric Hollywood, but I had the conversation with him about Ronnie VOP and his single. And he in the single, he talks about he's riding around Miami drinking. And I'm like, okay, I'm sorry, that's illegal, first of all. Mm-hmm. Secondly, that's just not a good idea to say the truth. Can we come up with another verse?
I think Ronnie did try to do the edited version, right?
He did. Well, you know, thank
that's
our
not
PD.
In there, right?
Yeah, our PD had a conversation with him and said, yeah, you know, could we get an edited version?
Yeah.
Because instead of riding around drinking, you know, just like put this joint to your mouth. Okay,
yeah,
really?
Trey songs all day. I can't believe when I heard it, I was like,
what?
Wow.
Yeah. But like you said, we're on a whole nother.
It's a whole nother.
You know,
now.
Yeah. But we kind of went through that at the beginning of rap, too, with, you know, the violence in rap. And now we're with it, you know. But yeah, we have to be diligent. And, you know, Keon, I just, you know, we have to tell the truth. So just like K-Dot said, it's just really powerful from, you know, from where you see the world, you know, that you were able to, you know, take off the mask. You know, and
well,
share that it happens. Yeah, if it happened to you, you know, trust, it happened to me too. So I think that you're right. That has a big impact, you know,
absolutely,
on a kid that it's happening to right now, that his coach is touching him the wrong way or his brother's, you know, his uncle or somebody just, you know, if it, right. And it never underestimate the way that something feels to you.
Exactly.
If it feels wrong,
it is wrong.
Right.
So, Keon,
one of the points I wanted to make, especially for the fellas, is that a lot of us think that, you know, if we score early with the older young lady that, you know, that's the right thing. Well, listen, let me tell you, that's where most of the sexual dysfunction comes from. When some of the older teenage girls get with some of the younger guys or some of the, you know, some of the old cougars in the hood get with a young teenage boy. And then when they're in their 20s, they can't, you know, stop, you know, being promiscuous. And they don't know where this dysfunction comes from. A lot of times, you know, that dynamic isn't talked about. And so a lot of fellas don't even realize that they've been victimized.
Yeah, it's, you know, and that is something that is epidemic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And maybe it always was. And, you know, but yeah, I am amazed at the things that I read and hear about of women, you know, of an age like mine, having sex with boys that are young enough to be their grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, that's a whole nother show. But Keon, thank you very much for joining us, and I hope to have you in the studio when next time you're in South Florida.
Yes,
is he there?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely. I can't wait to get in there. You know, I've always been a big fan of Chills, Tracy.
Oh.
Like since I was a kid, so I just appreciate your positivity and what you do. Kudos to you and Hot 105. Thank you for all you do for our community.
Thank you so much. That means everything. Trust and believe it. And Teddy T, K-Dot, thank you all. Thank you so much for staying up and coming to hang out at High Talk.
We had to kick it with you.
Yes, indeed. We'll have to do it again. And we are out of here. It goes by so quickly. But we thank you for staying up with us. Mark Young, see, it's painless. I told you.
Painless.
Painless.
Right. I'll call you at 9 o'clock in the morning. Painless, right? Thank you so much for listening to Hot Talk. We will be back next Sunday right here, 11 p.m. Gotta go. Love you. Mean it. Bye-bye.
Jill Tracy, always live, always local, always entertaining and educating South Florida.
Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m.
The views and opinions expressed on Hot Talk, guests and callers are not necessarily those of WHQT, Hot 105, or Cox Media Group. Our studios and offices are located at 2741 North 29th Avenue in Hollywood, Florida. Join us next week for more of Hot Talk on Hot 105.